This morning, I want to talk about the heart of a believer. I think as we have shared, and I know as was prayed, if we don't guard our heart, we could get in bondage. And I know Jesus has set us free, but if we have hard hearts, resentment, bitterness, anger, any kind of sin, hidden sin, bond, we get bound up. We are not in freedom. We know that Jesus sets us free, and we would be set free, and we could walk in freedom if we're not holding on to resentment, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, resentment. The list goes on. And for us to say that we are, do we have that in our hearts? Do we have resentment and bitterness in our hearts? Do we have unforgiveness in our hearts today? Because if we don't have if we have unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness and anger, we are bound. Satan has a hold on our life right now. We're not walking in freedom. Or does that make sense? So what was prayed this morning is true. If we're not walking with resentment. And this week, I've been really on my heart this last week. And the Lord really impressed on me. It's just because through conversations, it's just like, where's the heart in the body of Christ? And it's easy for me to get resentful. And I've had dealt with resentment. Because we see in the body of Christ, maybe we say, well, where is everybody today? Why don't we see more people coming to Bible studies? Why don't we see more people coming to prayer meetings? Why don't we see people partaking? And we can get resentful. But do we pray for those people? And so it's like, I think about in Revelation, it's like the church, people's hearts will grow cold. Is my heart cold today? And I think about the prodigal son. You ever hear a message about the prodigal son, the dad's, that prodigal son's brother? He was resentful and bitter, even though his brother returned. And though he never went astray, he did go astray. Because he, in his heart, he held resentment and bitterness and anger towards his brother because he went off and foolishly spent all his dad's money that he gave him. And then he came back and he thought, well, he should be a servant. And rather than being clothed with the ring of sonship and putting the robe back on, and so, as the body of Christ, do we have resentment today? If we have resentment towards anybody, that hinders the Holy Spirit from working. I can't remember the scripture, but it talks about even if a husband has bitterness, resentment towards his wife, God will not hear his prayers. That's pretty harsh. That's pretty like to the core of it. If a man has resentment towards his wife, God will not hear his prayer. And then so it's very convicting. You know, there's a physical heart and a spiritual heart. And they both are parallel. So the physical speaking, the heart is the most important organ. Because with the heart, your natural heart, it pumps the blood, gets the nutrients flowing, gets to every part. And sometimes your natural heart gets plugged. You might have to have a bypass. Put a stent or two in there to get the flow going again. Right? And so spiritually speaking, most of us, maybe we have some that resentment in our hearts, unforgiveness. Maybe we have bitterness towards what somebody may have said to us a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. And usually when we have this resentment in our own spiritual hearts, things come out of our mouths. Right? We know that people, we hold on to things. And Jesus says, if you can't forgive somebody, how can God freely forgive you? We ask God to forgive us. But if I can't forgive a brother or a sister or somebody in my life, God says he cannot forgive us. That makes us bound. Satan has a noose around us. He's choking the life out of us. He's restricting the flow of the Holy Spirit because of our disobedience. It's powerful. And we wonder why the church is not flourishing. Why I'm not flourishing in my walk with the Lord. Is there a noose around my spiritual heart that is hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit in my life? I know today and yesterday, you know, just even certain things, like, you know, I had to, when I was getting ready, I'm like, things happened yesterday. And it's just like, Lord, I have to forgive. Even this morning, God, in the shower, I was thinking of people that I had resentment towards, who don't even know I have resentment to them. But, you know, Satan's been using that to hold me back. You know, the Old Testament, for the word for heart, is used more than 800 times. 200 times it deals with one thought. One's thought life, emotion, the wellspring of life, those things that motivate us and mold us. That's what the Bible calls the heart. What fills our minds? What fills our emotions? What stirs us? And God, in his mercy, reveals those things through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we read it in Proverbs 4:20, do you have that, Eric? We'll put it on the board. My son, give attention to my words. This is Solomon saying this, you know, and just think of this as God speaking to his children right now. Right? If you're a child of God, think of our Heavenly Father saying this to you right now. Right? This is what our Heavenly Father would be saying to his children. We are all his children. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your hearts. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That's diligence. We are responsible for that, to watch over our hearts. And as Enid shared this morning, right? It's the diligence part. We can get lazy. We could be sliding off. We could do this. It's very easy to lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. We are responsible to watch over our hearts. We're responsible for what comes into our heart. We are supposed to take captive thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Right? For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. You think what a deceitful mouths are. You know, sometimes we have coarse joking, crude words, saying inappropriate things, saying words that are not, we should not be even saying. Sometimes even sarcasm. I used to be bad for sarcasm. But not, God really changed my life for being a little sarcastic. Sarcasm actually reveals what's in the heart. Deceitfulness, what comes out of your mouth, actually reveals what's in your heart. Coarse joking reveals how dirty your heart still is, with this unyieldedness to the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important for the body of Christ, as believers in Christ, followers of Christ, to actually say, Lord, search my heart, know my thoughts, reveal anything in my life, that needs to be dealt with. Because we're responsible to take captive and be diligent what we happens into our comes into our heart. And put devious speech far from you. Coarse language. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. You know, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your hearts with all diligence. This means that we should guard our hearts like a soldier guards a city to keep out invaders. Supposed to put that barrier. I even pray, it's like, Lord, I pray for your protection around my heart and my mind, that you would guide my mind, my heart today. Pretty much every day I ask the Lord to do that, because it's so important for my heart to be guarded and my mind to be guarded. Because we know in Ephesians 6, the things that we battle are spiritual battles. And when we have resentment and bitterness and anger, unforgiveness, the whole list goes on. The devil knows. He knows your weaknesses. He knows. He watches you. He watches. He knows you better than anybody. He knows what he needs to do to cause you to look away, to draw you away, to entice you away, to bring you away from the Lord. And how he could put a noose around your neck and slowly choke you and cause you to fall asleep and to become resentful and bitter towards God, to your spouse, to your kids, to the church, to people that you think should be doing certain things. It causes resentment. And how do we deal with resentment? It's important to guard our hearts. The devil wants you to be bound up. He wants you to walk in disobedience. He wants you not to be listening to what the Word of God says. He doesn't want you to be applying the Word of God. He says, it's fine. It's fine. You don't have to do this today. You don't have to surrender today. He's very enticing. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to draw you away from the Word of God. He knows how to distract you from the Word of God and apply the Word of God. He knows that. That's why he knows you, why he can entice you so easily. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the open wounds in your life right now. He knows those open wounds of hurts and pains that may be caused by a loved one, resentment from the loved ones. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody said a very unkind word to you. Maybe somebody didn't give you the affection that you wanted. right? That's open wounds. Maybe somebody was very harsh to you. And those are open wounds that the devil uses to blind you from the word of God and the love of God and how Jesus can actually set us free from those wounds and not to receive his healing. Think of the times we've been hurt. We live in a fallen world. And have we asked the Lord, is there anybody right now in my life that I'm holding resentment to? You might have a whole list. Like you might go from whatever. But are we allowing the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I forgive that person. Even maybe that person didn't even know. Maybe I said stuff that has caused resentment. And I don't even know about it. Maybe you have said things. Maybe other people have said things. But we need to forgive. Say, Lord, I forgive this person for the harshness, for the bitterness, the words they said. I know it's not true. And Lord, I break those off. I ask in Jesus' name that you break off those word curses. And that I wouldn't remember these things anymore. These things that are round my neck is a yoke. We know what a yoke is. Jesus says, my yokes are easy, my burdens are light. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. A yoke drives you, steers you. An ungodly yoke will steer you to the wrong direction. It will take you away from what the Word of God says and what He wants to do in your life. So is there a yoke that's around your neck, driving you in the wrong direction? And we may be feeling justified. Why, I can't forgive this person. But Jesus had the most of, he didn't have to forgive us. He didn't have to save us. He didn't have to redeem us. He wanted to do the Father's will. And out of his love and admiration, he died for you and I. And he forgave our sins as we repented and confessed that we needed him. Very powerful. And we wonder why so many believers are not walking in the truth. Because we are believing lies. We're allowing Satan to guide us. And I feel so often the church of believers as a whole are so bound up because it's looking through a world view, not a biblical view. Too often the church is so worldly instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work. And through our actions, what kind of words come out of our mouths? It just really exposes the heart. You know, many people are being destroyed for the simple reason that their hearts are hardened. As I think Corrine said this morning, if you don't harden your heart when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't harden your heart. I'm thanking God this morning in the shower. It's like, thank you, Lord, for bringing this to my mind. And I was praying a blessing over this person today, and I was like, Lord, they don't even go to this church, they don't even, the kid, whatever, right, he's a young kid, and, you know, and I realized that I had resentment, and I was like, Lord, I pray a blessing over that kid, I pray for them, that you would set them free, and Lord, and that's the thing, you know that you have forgiven somebody, if you actually pray a blessing over them. Can I actually pray a blessing over somebody that I forgave. And if I can't, then I haven't forgiven them. It might take time. But Lord, I pray a blessing over them. What it does do? Why should I be praying a blessing? It actually loosens that yoke off of my neck. Satan no longer has control over my heart. He's not directing me by through my emotions, through my anger, but I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life. You know, so he works through bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, causing us to walk away from the Lord. That's what happens. We walk away from the Lord, even though we come to church, maybe on every Sunday, just like that prodigal son's brother who never left the farm. He's still resentful. He was still eating out of that slop pail because he wasn't dealing with his heart. The Lord, Jesus looks at your heart. The heart is what he's after. Not your performance, not what you do, but he looks at your heart. He looks at your motives. He looks at everything. He looks right now what your thoughts are. He knows what your heart is. He knows where your heart is. He's like, do you want to deal with these things? Most of the time we don't keep close guard on our heart. We allow too much junk in there. A lot of nonsense. I think about when it says in verse 23, above all, guard for what flows out of your heart, the springs of life. What flows out of your, is it fresh water? Is it bitter water? What flows? There's a spring of life that flows out of us. What flows out of you? Is it resentment? You know, I think about how, what happens if there's poison in that water that flows out of you, this poison? How does poison affect you? Does it kill you right away? Or slowly over time? It's flowing over time and not things being dealt with, our hearts become really bitter, resentful. We may say all the right things, might do some of the right things, but just like the Pharisees and that, on the outside they look great, but on the inside, they're rotten to the core. You may look beautiful on the outside, might have this big smile, but there's turmoil in our hearts. We have to be careful not only about our actions, but also our imaginations. What runs wild through your mind? Because those imaginations do affect your heart. What's your intent? Because your intent affects your heart. What's your motivation to doing certain things? Is it to get something back out of it? To receive something out of it? Or is this whole just want to give without any expectation? That's the condition of the heart. How about our attitudes? If we aren't careful to keep these things in check, we may end up with a hardened heart, a resentful heart of bitterness. Hebrews 3:12. You know, this has been a really good week for me. Because I has been pondering this. God's been revealing things in my own heart. And I think as the body of Christ, is like we see brothers and sisters slipping away. I see people slipping away. And we could go and talk to them, but if they're not ready to receive, but we need to be praying for them. Only the Holy Spirit can change people's hearts. He's the only one that can soften hearts. Hebrews 3:12. I'm just going to read. Therefore, be aware, brethren. I'm reading out of the Amplified. For some reason, I was reading out of the Amplified at home. Therefore, be aware, brethren, take care, lest there be any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on Jesus, leading you to turn away and desert, or stand off. And so when I looked at, what's the standoff mean? Stand aloof. What does stand aloof mean? Uninvolved or uninterested. And I see that in the body of Christ. Saddens my heart. See how many believers are uninvolved and uninterested in the Word of God. I'm not talking about just in church. I'm talking about our daily lives. Our daily lives, that we are uninterested, uninvolved, really wanting to know the Lord. Church on Sunday is coming together with other believers, praising God together. But during my week at home, am I uninvolved or uninterested in the Word of God? That's what I'm talking about, not the attendance. If there's one person here, that's great. God's here. I'm not about wanting to see the seats filled, but I want the hearts of people changed. Is my heart being changed throughout the week? Because I believe if at home and we are allowing and we're being involved and we're interested in the Word of God to see the kingdom of God grow, seeing the effects, how my life is affected, eventually you see more and more believers in the world, as we're supposed to be the light in the world, how the world will be transformed because of our obedience and our yielding to the Holy Spirit. See transformations, how God will be glorified in the world. And people will say, well, boy, what's going on with your life? Can I come? Can you tell me? Can you teach me? And we see a transformed world, a transformed household, a transformed lives, towns. Then the church would be like full of people that are hungry and who want to know the Lord and share what the Lord's doing. So what is the heart? In Proverbs 27:19, Solomon writes this, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. Proverbs 27:19. So it's about the heart. So your heart is you, your inner you. So do I regularly think about my heart? Do I understand it's a crucial role in my life? I may be guarded in many ways and guard against many things, but do I guard my heart? Too often we don't. Because we live in a sinful world, we get bitter and resentful of what's happening in this world. But Jesus says, guard your heart. The Word of God says, guard your heart. Your heart is the most important thing because it affects so much of you. As we've seen, the heart is simple, singular way of describing your thinking, feeling, and choosing. And this heart becomes visible in your words. So we're like, where did that come from? From your heart. Your choices. How come I make that choice? Because it's in your heart. It's your any behaviors. Your behavior comes from your heart. You notice how your heart is very key, because it's shows your words, shows your choices, shows your behavior, truly what you believe. Your heart reveals really what's in your heart. And you speak it, you act out on it, you behave by it. Keeping that in mind in many places throughout Proverbs, we also read about the various responses of the human heart. Responses to life in this world, to circumstances, to people, responses to the truth and lies. It is shaped how it shapes your behavior. Your heart shapes your behavior. We also talk about response as a heart condition and consequences. How do I respond? So here's a few examples. Anxiety in the man's heart weighs him down, Proverbs 12:25. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, Proverbs 15:13. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, Proverbs 18:12. Proverbs is a very good one, isn't it, John? In addition, Proverbs touch on a wide range of heart conditions. Example, we read about the heart of bitterness, Proverbs 14:10. But a tranquil heart, Proverbs 14:30. And about sorrow of heart, Proverbs 15:13. The arrogant in heart, Proverbs 16:5. Intellect heart, 18:15. A proud heart, Proverbs 21:4. And about purity of heart, Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs is exposes a lot. It's wisdom. We need wisdom. We need to apply God's wisdom to our lives. How is your heart responding to the challenges that you're currently facing right now? So it's imperative to guard your heart. Our heart has a significant impact on our relationship with God, and the condition of our heart can either draw us closer or push us away further from God. When we meditate on the Word of God, we allow it to sink into our hearts, where we can be radically transformed. allowing sinful influences to take root in our hearts will hinder our relationship with the Lord. How many know that's true? When we struggle to pray, read the Bible, or even feel distant from God, we must guard our hearts and cultivate a deeper relationship with Him. It's repentance. You know, believers can be wounded spiritually. I was thinking about that. How many wounds do the believers have that aren't dealt with? So spiritual woundedness can come from broken or painful relationships. Because we all have had broken relationships from our past. And that's why I say, you know, before you guys get married, be careful who you hang out with. Don't date a lot of girls. Stay away from girls until you're 26. That's wisdom. See? I'm protecting your heart. But protect your heart. So I tell Zane, protect your heart. Don't give your heart over to many women at one time. Because then it actually affects your how you would look at your wife, or even if you're a girl, how your husband would be. Protect your heart. Allow the Lord to be the foundation of your heart. So it can come, you know, it might seem instant, you know, maybe, it's all right. Whatever. But even a wounded heart can cause injury, festering in your heart, and causes deep wounds in your heart. Do we deal with those deep wounds? Do we allow those wounds fester in our hearts, in our minds? Do we replay those things? Because really, when we start allowing our minds to run wild, to fester on those things, it actually puts us more in bondage. Jesus told us to forgive, we must also forgive those who have hurt us, which can be difficult. But it's only the Holy Spirit that can bring change. It's only the Holy Spirit that can bring healing and restoration and deliverance. Psalm 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Psalm 147:3. So it's only He, Jesus, that He heals the brokenhearted. Just as physical wounds sometimes require stitches, deep spiritual wounds must be bound up, so they can be healed properly. So sometimes when we have spiritual wounds, sometimes we don't like to deal with them. But then they fester. Then they come back again. Not really healing because we're not dealing with it. And only God can do this. He's the only one that can properly heal the deep wounds. I think that's why God gives us wives and husbands and kids to really reveal what's in our hearts. Because really, we are truly ourselves around those people. And he allows that to reveal what's in our heart. So the spouse is usually the punching bag because they take a lot of abuse. Our kids usually take a lot of abuse because what's in our hearts. They deal with it. You know, turn to him and receive his healing today. Jesus is more concerned about your heart because it's the source of your actions and motives. He sees your inner thoughts and feelings as crucial to the relationship with God and with others. The pure in heart is often mentioned in the Bible, suggesting that our hearts impacts our relationships with the Lord. It really does impact our life and our walk with the Lord if I'm not dealing with stuff in my heart. I would get distant and cold and bitter because I'm not truly letting go. Because I think I have to hold on to it. John Piper wrote this. He says, "And what you are in the invisible root matters so much to God as your what is visible at the was what you are." So I'll read that again. "And what you are at the invisible root matters as much to God as your what's at the visible branch." So he sees the invisible things. It matters. Things that you don't see, things that we have buried, God sees. He reveals, but do we surrender? Do we let go of it? So often we're so used to having this bitterness and resentment and anger, unforgiveness, it's hard for us to let go of it. Because it has formed us in so many different ways and affects our how we speak and how we think we are. Once we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with that, then the bondage and the chains will be broken off of us. You will see the people in the body of Christ transformed and renewed, walking in liberty and freedom. Hope that makes sense. When we experience that, we could actually celebrate and also praise our Lord for all that He has done and is doing in our lives. So what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. For out of the mouth comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. And this is what defiles a man. And that's in Matthew 15, verses 18 to 19. So out of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what's the antidote for the heart condition? Psalm 139, 23 to 24, I said this one already, but it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting." Do we pray that? I've been learning to pray that more often. I don't want no offensive way in me. I don't want to have resentment and bitterness. I want to be who God wants me to be, walk in the freedom, not be bound by the past or past hurts or people who have hurt me, to forgive freely, not to hold it over their heads after I have forgiven them. Because if we say, I forgive you, and you hold it over their heads, have you really forgiven them? No, you're just going through the motions. But trust comes. You have to earn trust. It's different than forgiving. Don't hold the past over somebody's head. Sometimes we do that. So God can heal any heart once we recognize our disobedience and repent of our sins. But true repentance is more than simply a resolute feeling of steadfast determination. Repentance manifests itself in a changed life. Is my life being changed when I repent? Or am I just going through the motions of saying, forgive me, or I just repent, but not really, not in my heart? I'm just saying I repent just for the sake of it. But do I truly mean it when I say it? I repent of this. Because your life will change. Your actions will change. Your behavior changes. Whole aspect of your life changes when we truly repent. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit that's transforming our hearts. If we are to live a life to the fullness as God intends, we need to study and obey God's written word, which keeps our hearts soft. Close with this one, Philippians 4. Verse 5 to 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in Him. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Lord, I pray that for all of us, Lord, that you would deal with our hearts. And Lord, that you would reveal things in our hearts that we don't want to deal with. Lord, the things that we have buried so deep, only you, Lord, could actually reach into the deepest parts of our hearts and to reveal those things. Not to bring up shame or anything, but you want to deal with the things that has us bound, that is hindering you to move freely in our lives, where these roots of resentment and bitterness, Lord, there's areas in our lives that need to be dealt with, where there's wrong motives, selfish ambition, whatever it is. Lord, what is it that drives us away from you? But Lord, I pray that you would reveal. And Lord, as you bring things to our minds, Lord, that we will write it down, repent of it, and then if it's somebody that has offended us, Lord, that we would repent and say, Lord, I forgive that person from the hurt, what they have said, maybe their actions. Lord, I truly forgive that person. And Lord, that we would pray a blessing over that. Lord, I pray that you would transform our lives this week, more so than ever before. And those who aren't here today, Lord, that you would be speaking to them about their condition of their hearts. Lord, even every other church service today, Father, I pray for my other brothers and sisters, and every other body of believers, that you would deal with the hearts. You would reveal the condition of the hearts. Because, Lord, you don't want us to stay the same. You want us to grow deeper with you, to grow more in love with you each day, to have a love for you like we haven't had for a long time. Lord, I pray that you would set your children free. And, Lord, that remove those bound chains, the shackles, so we could actually praise you from a true heart. Lord, to experience you in a new way because of the freedom that you provide. And Lord, I pray for protection over our minds, where Satan's trying to get in and bring doubt and confusion. Lord, I pray that you have given us all things, Lord, necessary for life and godliness. And so, Lord, I pray, you say, take captive every thought that would set itself up against the knowledge of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take captive those thoughts now. Tell them to leave and not to return. Lord, I pray that we would be more mindful of what your word says and apply it to our lives. It's my heart that the body of Christ realizes freedom that you provide. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that you are already given us so far. But Lord, we want to walk in more freedom. To be able to pray for the lost, pray for the, just to have a love for the lost. And Lord, that they can experience your freedom. So their lives be transformed. And Lord, that we would be desiring to share of the good news of the gospel to people because how you are setting us free more and more each day, and how you're dealing with past hurts and pains, things that we never want to deal with, the shame that we have, Lord. I pray that we would take it to the cross and leave it there. Just pray for you.